we are continuing with the sugyas of the dinim related to a melech. And the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Amud Beis tells us that one of the dinim of a melech, well, really nothing to do with a melech, is that motzi l'milchemes harishus al pi bezdin shel shivim v'echa. And then it goes on to say that he's parich la'asos l'derech, which we'll discuss tomorrow, and various other halachas. So the Acharim all ask the question, how come the Mishnah in the second parak, which is describing all the various halachas related to a king, does it address that the Mechemes Rishus goes al pi bezdin shel shivim v'echa? It has nothing to do with the king at all. So it's very strange. So Tosi Yonder says, no, Eina Chanami is referring to the king as well. The two of them have to work in tandem. That was a davar pashut, that the melech is the one who's controlling who goes to Mechemes Rishus. In addition to the melech deciding, the Mishnah is Mechadesh to us, that al pi bezdin shel shivim v'echa as well. So we'll see exactly what the role of shivim v'echa would play, but the melech really makes the decision, and the shivim v'echa, they just add to that conversation. That's the understanding of the Tosfos Yom Tov, and that's also the understanding of the Ran. I'll read to the language of the Ran. The Ran writes, wasn't on the Marmor Komos, he says that de'ein ha'peir, de'ein lefarish, she'akavana lomar she'einu motzi el bebezdin shel shivim v'echa. Don't say you need the 71, and only with them they could go out. Because de'im kein ein zemale el shiflus. This is not an advantage, it's not a strength or power or mala that melech has. This is a shiflus, this is a weakness of the melech. So it'd be very odd to add that to the list of the Mishnayos here in the second parak. Now the question is, the Tosfos Yom Tov already alludes to this. Tosfos Yom Tov says, if you look at the Rambam, it doesn't seem this way. Though. The Rambam says, if you look at the Rambam, Hilchos Melachim, Perakei, Halacha Aleph and Halacha Beis, he says, Milchemes Mitzvah, Eino Tzarech Li Tobo Rishus Bezdin, it comes to Mechemes Mitzvah, which we'll define in a few moments. Melech does not need to discuss with anyone. He just goes when he wants to go. But Mechemes Rishus, Eino Motzi Ha'am Ba, Ela Al Pi Bezdin Shel Shivim V'echa. So there are two ways to read that Rambam. One way is that you read from the beginning, that although Mechemes Mitzvah, Eino Tzarech Li Tobo Rishus, Mechemes Rishus, he does need to ask permission. But according to the Tosfos Yom Tov's understanding of the Rambam is that the Bezdin Shel Shivim V'echa, they decide without the Melech. The Melech's not involved in this at all. Now, I don't think that's Pashas of the Rambam. I think the Pashas of the Rambam is that the king has to decide with the Shivim V'echa. But in that understanding of the Tosfos Yom Tov, that the Rambam means literally the Bezdin Shivim V'echa act on their own when it comes to Mechemes Rishus. So why in the world is it in this second parak of Halachas of Melachim? What's it doing here? It's as the Ran says, "Ein zemala el shiflus." Any thoughts? It's limiting the mile. So why are we listing it here?
Because
you
might think that the
mile
is listing.
No, this doesn't apply to him. Okay, so Kubi, so I'll add a little bit further than that. The truth is, whoever said that we're listing the halachas only of the milas of the melech? Who says we're not listing that which is shiflus to him? So if you read the very next, not the next, but two mishnas afterwards, one of the halachas is, lo yarba l'susim, they can have many horses, lo yarba kesev izav, and all these dinim that limit the king's capability. And more than that, v'kosa lo sefer Torah, he has to write a separate sefer Torah for him. And the whole function of that separate Sefer Torah was to humble him. So he shouldn't walk anywhere thinking he's the king of the world. The Sefer Torah is to keep him in check. So I don't know if that's true, that these are only milas. There's also that which is the shiflus, which tries to challenge him, tries to balance him. So if you understand the Rambam to be that way, that the melech has no say at all, the Mechemes Rishus, it could still be placed in the second parak here, because it's not milas per se, it's all the halachas that are related to the king. Whether it's an advantage or a disadvantage, this lists all the unique halachas related to the king. So now, having this in mind, let's discuss what exactly is Mechemes Rishus and Mechemes Mitzvah. So we saw one nafkamina already between the different. The one difference is that Mechemes Mitzvah, the Rambam writes, the melech decides on his own. He does not need to consult with a Congress or a Senate or the Pentagon. I don't know how it works here in America. I think the president's called the commander-in-chief. But I don't think that means he actually could make the decision. I think Congress needs to make that decision.
Congress has to officially declare.
Right. They declare, but the president cannot.
The president, he's the head. He can move the troops around.
But he cannot declare war. So in the what? He could bomb them and then declaring war, whatever it means. I don't know what declaring war means here. If you bomb someone, it doesn't mean declaring a war. Okay, but that could cause a war, but not declaring a war. So there are a lot of, I guess, semantics that are played apparently in the U.S. government, but in the Jewish government, so the halacha is that the king declares war. He declares war. He doesn't need to consult with anyone else when it comes to mechametz mitzvah. When it comes to mechametz rishus, so then we have this machlokas whether the Sanhedrin decides completely on their own or they decide together with the king. There's some relationship. They have to have some dialogue. So in that understanding that the king and the Sanhedrin play the similar role, they have to work together. So we saw another interesting machlokas. Two different Rashis. So one Rashi appears in Sanhedrin, and not our sugya, but a few daf earlier in daf tez zayin amud aleph, if you have it in the Marmar Komos, I'm going out of order. The Rashi writes that the reason why you have to be nimlach b'Sanhedrin is, if I would have asked any of you before you saw the next Rashi, you all would have told me, because you have to have their permission. Now, the king is acting on his own. Maybe he's making the wrong decision. He's having incorrect, his perspective is wrong, and his arguments are, so they need to balance out with the Sanhedrin of 71 great chachamim. You need to have netilas rishus. But then there's a Rashi in Brachos Daf Gimel Amud Beis. This is Margolis Hayam quotes his Rashi. And the Gemara is talking about a Gemara you all know. It's describing David HaMelech's incredible Seder HaYom, Seder HaLaila. He'd wake up Chatzos, and he'd daven and learn. And he'd learn until the morning. And once Amud HaShachar came around, so then all the Chachmei Yisrael came to David HaMelech. They said, Rebbe, they said, Master, they said, King, our nation needs Parnassah. So he says, okay, so go give parnasa, go take what you need to take. And they explain in a very poetic way that there's not enough money, there's not enough food, we can't. We don't have enough in the storage house. So he said, okay, so get together and go fight. Go win some wars and get some spoils of the war and then pay them that way. And the Gemara says, Miyad, immediately, Yo'atzim Achitofel, Vimlochim Sanhedrin, he would consult with Sanhedrin. And what would they do consulting Sanhedrin? Says Rashi, Kidei Sheispalu Alem. That they should daven on their behalf, which is just a fascinating approach, which is not the simple approach, but the reason of talking to Sanhedrin is twofold. Rashi writes in that same Rashi in Brachos, not limem l'rishus, but not because you need an allowance of their stamp of approval, because you need them to daven for it. Sanhedrin, the 71 greatest men, the only way you'll be successful is with tefillah. So that's the understanding, that's the role of Sanhedrin, not to consult with strategy, with army strategy, just to daven. We're going out to war, please daven for us. And that was the role of Sanhedrin and the Melech. But either way, Sanhedrin certainly does not have a role in Mechametz Mitzvah. They certainly have a role in Mechametz Rishus. The question is, what is their role? And number two is, does the king also have a role when it comes to Mechametz Rishus? So what is Mechametz Mitzvah? What is Mechametz Rishus? You have to define these terms. So the Gemara in Mishnah Sukkah tells us, Sotah rather tells us, the halachas of those are chozer me'orchei ha'melchama. Those who get to go back when it comes to the war, they have a bais chadash, shulin tzchanich, they weren't mechanich the house, they have a wife, the shana rishona, they have a kerem that they weren't yet, they didn't finish their vineyard, and they're scared of avers they may have. All these lists of people Mashiach Mechama says they could go out, could only be chozer mechama by mechemes rishus. But in Mechemes Mitzvah, Mechemes Chova, that says the Gemara, HaKol Yotin Afil Chosin Michedro V'Kala Mechupasa. Okay, there's many, many things to talk about women going to war, but everyone goes out to Mechemes Mitzvah, Mechemes Chova. So the Gemara points out that Tanakhama used the Lashon of Mechemes Rishus versus Mechemes Mitzvah. Rabbi Huda used the language Mechemes Mitzvah versus Mechemes Chova. So what's the difference? So the Gemara clarifies everything. The Gemara says, when it comes to Mechemes Yoshua. Everybody agrees that's Kol Chova. That's a Mechemes Chova, Mechemes Mitzvah. You have to go out to battle the first 7 years of conquering Eretz Israel. That was certainly a Mechemes Chova. And when it comes to the Mechemes Beis David, ready by David Melch's time, they owned all they needed to own in Eretz Israel, but sometimes he wanted to expand the borders, expand the property, expand the resources. So that is Mechemes Rishus, which means that's where the Chozer Mechama will be applicable. The machlokes between Tanakam and Rehuda is when it comes to this situation of when the Ovdei Kochavim are attacking us. When Ovdei Kochavim delo leisi allow that they shouldn't come upon us. So that's a question whether it's Mechames Rishus or Mechames Mitzvah. Now, just clarifying that category for a moment, I assume you got a chance to see the Shirei Karbon and the Yushalmi, it can't mean when they're attacking us already. That's self-defense. That's Pikuach Nefesh. Of course, that's Mechames Mechova, Mechames Mitzvah. It's when the Lashon of the Gemara is, Dilo Leisei Lai, that they should not come upon us, which is a preemptive strike. You're sensing that they're building up their stockpiles of weapons and guns and missiles, so you want to preempt them. You knock out their factories, you knock out their strategic points. So that would be a preemptive strike. That's the Machlokas. That according to Tanakhama, that's Mechames Rishus. According to Rabbi Huda, that's Mechames Mitzvah. The Nafkamin is Osek the Mitzvah, Pater. In a mitzvah, if it's a mitzvah, you're pater from, if you're osek in that mitzvah of nechama, you're pater from other mitzvahs. If it's only reshus, you'd still be obligated to perform mitzvahs. Now the Rambam quotes Lahalacha. He puts this all together, and he says that the dinim of reshus versus mitzvah, he says as follows. Eizehi milchemes mitzvah zu, milchemes shivas amimim, u milchemes amalek, which we'll address in just a few moments. V'ezras Yisrael miatzar sheba'aleim, and also he paskels like Rabbi Yehuda to save Klal Yisrael from a potential attack from a nation, from the enemy. That's also mechames mitzvah like Rabbi Yehuda. And then acharkach nilcham mechames rishus, which is what he defines as a mechama with the other amim kedei laharchiv gvul Yisrael, to expand the borders, ulaharbos begdulaso v'shamo, to expand the greatness, the honor, and the presence of Klal Yisrael. That's all Milchemes Rishus. That's Milchemes Beis Tavik. So we have this sheet of the Rambam. He adds in something that's not mentioned in the Gemara. Gemara tells him Milchemes Mitzvah is Milchemes Yeshua. And he adds on not only that, but also Milchemes Amalek as well. That wasn't mentioned in the Gemara. Maybe it was intuitive, maybe it was obvious, and maybe it's not supposed to be there. So, if you had a chance to look at the Rashi in the beginning of the Masechta. Beginning of the Masechta, that first Mishnah, in the entire Masechta, very long Mishnah. In the sum, it's a number of Mishnahs put together. So there, the Mishnah tells us that you need a Sanhedrin in order to go against the Mechemes Rishus. It's almost the exact language of our Mishnah here. The Mishnah says, Ve'ein motzin l'melchemes ha-reshus el al pi bezdin shel shem v'yachad. You need the Sanhedrin to decide whether it's worth going out to Mechemes Rishus. What is Mechemes Rishus, says Rashi? I don't know if you saw this yet. Kol milchama kari Rishus. Every milchama that's out there is called Rishus. Levad mi Mechemes Yeshua. Shayisol lichvosh is Eretz Yisrael. That's the only Mechemes Mitzvah. So what are two comments on this Rashi, by the way? Any thoughts on this Rashi? Is categorizing of Rishus versus Mitzvah? It seemed that the discussions here, at least according to these, is only once they got to Eretz Yisrael, that's when we started defining all these halachas. But prior to that, that wasn't part of the discussion. So what is Rashi? Rashi makes two points here. One is his definition of Mechemes Rishus. What's called Mechemes Rishus? Every Mechama except for Mechemes Yeshua. So back to that Mishnah and Sota, Tanakama versus Rabbi Huda, whose side is Rashi passing like? Tanakama, exactly. That question of whether we're making a preemptive strike is a rishus or a chova, well, the Rambam called it a chova or a mitzvah, the Rashi seems to imply that it's a rishus. That's one nafkamina machlokas, rather, between Rashi and the Rambam in terms of how to pass it. The other question in Rashi, he also leaves out Mechemes Amalek. Rambam clearly categorizes Mechemes Amalek as a Mechemes mitzvah. The Rashi says only Mechemes Yeshua is a Mechemes mitzvah. Everything that's not Mechemes Yeshua, such as Mechemes Amalek, would not be considered a Mechemes mitzvah. Rather, it would only be considered a Mechemes Rishus. So the Acharon asks in Rashi, how can Rashi leave out Mechemes Amalek? We all know there's a mitzvah deraisa of erasing, wiping out, destroying, killing Amalek. So how is that not called the Mechemes mitzvah? Doesn't make any sense, they ask. Has anyone got a chance to see the Aruch Lanier? What does Aruch Lanier suggest? He writes, anyone? No thoughts? No remembers?
That Pasha is in the Torah that you wouldn't need, like, first promotion.
Exactly. You don't need to consult them. It is a Mechalas Mitzvah. But Sanhedrin does not need to be consulted on this particular Mechama, because he says, the Mechamas HaMalek, Ein Tzar Chaskamas Bezdin Shal Shem V'yechad, came in that Tzivoy Mefurs B'Pasek, L'Chalais. There's a constant Tzivoy. Hashem gave us a Tzivoy. Hashem gave us the Haskama to fight HaMalek. About Mechamas Eretz Yisrael, that wasn't all the time, and that's when you need to consult with Sanhedrin when it comes to a Mechemes Rishus. But Mechemes HaMalek is not a Mechemes Rishus. Don't get me wrong. It's Mechemes Mitzvah. It just differs from other Mechemes Mitzvahs that normally Mechemes Mitzvah requires the Melech to decide. But the Mechemes Mitzvah of HaMalek does not need Melech's decision. Haskama, rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already gave us the Tzivoy. The Rambam felt the other way. Rambam felt that the Melech does have to make such a decision. So it has to be somewhere. It has to be in some category. So you and I, of course, knew, and Aruch Haner assumed it's got to be Mechamas Mitzvah, even though the Gemara didn't address it. It was an example they gave in Mechamas Shivas Amim, but Mechamas HaMalek was also implied there. Otherwise, where does it go? So that's one pshat, but the Megillas HaYam gives another pshat here, which might answer for the Rambam as well. And that, Megillas HaYam writes, that when Rashi says Mechemes Yeshua, he included, that implies Mechemes Amalek as well. How come? Who was the arch enemy of Amalek, if you will, or is Yeshua? Yeshua was the general. He was the one who was commanded, who was charged with the mission of collecting an army and fighting against Amalek, as Moshe Rabbeinu stood on the har, the mountain, his hands up, Yeshua is busy fighting. And every time we continue to battle against Amalek, it's a continuation, it's a continuity of the initial Mechemes Yeshua. And he brings a raya from this, the Ritva points out in the Gemara Megillah. We have the walled cities on Purim time, reading on the 15th, and we go back to dating Chomos Mimos Yeshua Ben Nun. Why is it based on Yeshua ben Nun? What does Yeshua ben Nun have to do with Megillas Esther? He's already dead for a number of years. He's not in the picture anymore. Elamai, because Purim, Haman, of course, is Amalek. And so, just like Haman's from Amalek, Mordechai Esther from Yeshua, it's the same fight that took place a couple generations earlier is recurring now in the times of Mordechai and Esther versus Haman Achashverosh. So that's called a Mechemes Yeshua, and that's why we go back to the walls of Yeshua ben Nun, even though it's Purim many generations later. So therefore, when Rashi says Mechemes Yeshua, he's implying a Malek there as well. Now, a big afkamina would be, then, between the Aruch Haner and Megillas HaYam, do you need to consult with Sanhedrin or Melech when it comes to fighting a Malek? According to Aruch Haner, you don't have to consult with anyone. You just go and do it. It's Haskamas Hashem already. The Tzivoy is already in place. But according to Megillas HaYam's understanding is, no, it's a Mechemes Mitzvah, and you have to follow the rules of a Mechemes Mitzvah, which means only through the Melech can one make such a decision. And one third shot, before we go even further, is as follows. Megillas HaYam quotes another Shita. And he says that maybe Amalek is not even considered a Mechama. It's not even called a war. The dinim of war don't apply to Amalek. And his proof is that normally you'll see, look at the Rambam. Rambam talks about in, I think it's Perek Vav, maybe in Hilchos Melachim, that prior to going to war, you need to first ask, you want to make peace first, let's get along. Ein osin v'chama, im adam ba'olam ad shekaren l'shalom, echad mechemes rishus, echad mechemes mitzvah. You need to extend the peace offer. I don't want to fight you, I'd rather just make peace. Let's just, you know, get out of your land. If you're not getting out of the land, I'm going to beat you up. That's what's going on here. So, says the Medrash, that is true of all wars except for Mechamas HaMalek. Mechamas HaMalek does not have the din of extending peace. That tells us it does not follow the rules of Mechama, and that wasn't even on the radar of Rashi. There's nothing to talk about. Rashi is talking about Mechamas Rishus, Mechamas Mitzvah. Mechamas HaMalek is not a Mechama. There are no rules. You just go ahead. Now, the difficulty with this is that if you look at the Rambam on the Salacha, he goes on to point out that we do extend Shalom to Amalek as well. So this is a Medrash which is not a fi'alach of the Rambam, but that's the base of the Medrash. So within the world of the Rambam, So this wouldn't make sense. But maybe Rashi holds with this. I'm not sure. How that works exactly? It could be. I think maybe they bring this as a raya because there's a Gemara that talks about Sanhedrin actually and Gittin as well. Bnei Barnav Shel Haman. They learned in Bnei Brak. How could that be? You have to kill, wipe them out. And there's also Tosus in Yavamas that says B'diavad you could be makabel them as gerim. How does that all work? So I think they bring this Rambam as a raya that Rambam does not say you can be makabel them as a ger. So you have to work that sugya a little bit. But that's one shot, is that you can't be makabel them in Echanami. But, what? The Rambam, I believe they quote him as paskening otherwise. So it's a part of a larger sugya, but either way, Rambam clearly states that they have the option of shalom, and therefore, within the world of the Rambam, this would not work. The Medrash takes the Pashup shot, how we understood that you have to kill them, there's no peacemaking with them, in which case, there's no machama. It's not a machama. We don't call that a machama. It's not on the radar. So these are three shitas explaining shitas Rashi. Just recap before we go a little bit further. You didn't see the next section of Marmar Komos, but what we saw is that there is two and a half communities between Mechametz Rishus and Mechametz Mitzvah. One is who decides to go to battle. Mechametz Mitzvah is by the king. Mechametz Rishus is by Sanhedrin. And maybe also the Melech has to consult with the Sanhedrin on Mechametz Rishus. That's one half communa. The second half communa is Chozer L'Mechama. Chozer L'Mechama only applies to Mechametz Rishus. But Mechametz Mitzvah, everyone goes out, Afilu, Chasim, Mechupaso, they have to go out to the war. That's second Afkamina. We discussed what is Mechametz Rishus, what is Mechametz Mitzvah, had a bit of a discussion about whether Amalek, how they categorize that, but that's the second Afkamina about Chozer Mechama. It's going to be a third Afkamina, which I'll present to you as follows. There is Elon.
Is Amalek in Eretz Israel?
Is it Amalek? No, it's not. It's not talking about the land. It's talking about the people of Amalek.
But they reside in.
They did not.
So then, how can Rabbi Yosef be the second half of Rashi? Shehaisa lekav mikvash Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, he defines what the mechama.
Yeah, excellent question. Excellent question. I'm not sure. I think that's the typical mechama Yisrael. There's also the other mechama Yisrael of Amalek, even though it doesn't have to do directly with the land of Eretz Yisrael. But the excellent question. So there is another interesting din when it comes to a Mechametz Mitzvah and Mechametz Rishus in general. We'll see whether there's a distinction or not. There's a pasuk that says, it was in last week's parsha actually, U'batim Meleim Kol Tov Asher Lo Meleisa, and you're going to have houses full of Tov, that which you didn't fill up, U'boros Chatzuvim Asher Lo Chatzavta, and you're going to have wells that you didn't dig, and vineyards and olive fields and orchards that you didn't plant, and you're going to eat and satisfy yourself from them. And the Gemara in Chulin Daf Yud Zayin, part of an interesting question, take a look if you want, is an interesting suffix in the Gemara, but a little bit more involved now. But the Gemara clearly uses this pasuk as a source, that b'shas mechama, you're allowed to eat chazer, you can eat pig, treif, during mechama. That's what the Gemara says, based on these pasukim. So the Rambam paskens this in Hilchos Melachim Perek Ches Halach Aleph. He says, Chalutzei Tzava, the soldiers, Kishiyichnechsu Begvul Akum, when they enter into the borders of the Goyim, they're Mutil Lehen Lechel Nevelos, Vetrefos, Basar Chazer, Vechayos, but you can eat all types of Vetref, Machalos Asuros. Imi Yirae Velomatsa Mayochal, if you're starving, nothing to eat. Ella Machalos Eila Hasurman, all there is pig, there's treif, no other kosher food. So then you're allowed to eat the food. And he says further, V'chein shel say Yain Nesach, you could drink Yain Nesach if you need. And that's what the Rambam writes. Now the Ramban al Torah, Parshav Eschanan, argues on this, Shita. And the Ramban has three shilas on the Rambam. Number one, he says, the whole heter of the Rambam, he says, based on Pikuach Nefesh, is the implication of the Rambam. It's Pikuach Nefesh, he's starving, that's why you're allowed to eat it, because no other food. So he says, that's not true. Ramban says, this is not a heter in Pikuach Nefesh. Ramban writes, the heter here is one of reward. It's your reward from winning the battle. You had a war, you beat them, and part of the reward is collecting the spoils of food. That's part of it. It's a special heter in the rewards, the spoils of the battle. That's number one. Number two, the Ramban writes, this is only true, this heter, if it's a battle that takes place in Eretz Yisrael proper. But outside Eretz Yisrael, there's no such heter of this. And thirdly, he says, Yai Nesach, there's no such heter. That's Avodah Zarah. It's not a Machal Sassurah. It's Avodah Zarah we're talking about here. There's no heter of that. The heter was Chazer, Nevela, and Treif, but not Yai Nesach. So he argues with those 3 points. One is the reason of the heter. Well, the Rambam says it's based on Pekuach Nefesh. Ramban says it's based on the reward, the schar of the Mechama. And number two is he argues on where this takes place. The Rambam writes everywhere. The heter's everywhere. And the reason why it's everywhere for the Rambam, because if Pekuach Nefesh, if you're battling war, you need, and there's no other food, you have to save your life. Ramban says, no, this is a special heter of the schar of Milchemes Eretz Yisrael. Ramban actually writes that this is why he says, this is exactly the reason why we have a din, when it came to the Milchemes Midian, so there's no heter of Milchemes Midian. We learn the lachas of Hagalas Kalim. From Clay Midian. What happened was Clay Midian. We got the pots and pans. We had to kasher them. Why do you have to kasher them? Isn't this the heter or the schar of the Mechama? And Ban says, no, because the heter is only in Eretz Yisrael. Mechamas Midian was chutzlarts. There's no such heter. That's why they have to go through Hagalas Kalim. That's the second machlokus between the Ramban and the Rambam. Where the heter takes place. And we'll get to the third heter in just a second, the third discussion. So let's just focus in for a moment where that heter takes place. The Rambam says it everywhere. Pekuach Nefesh takes place anywhere. And this is very nogay, by the way, when you have undercover, you have spies. Israel has a lot of spies all over the world, especially in the Arab countries. Someone actually gave me a book. I'm reading a scary book about what these people do. It's crazy. They look like Arabs, they talk like Arabs, and it's dangerous, needless to say. It's dangerous. And if they're caught with kosher food, they're in trouble. So Rav Asher Weiss is actually, I think, the official posek of the Mossad or something like that. He gets like these really neat shilas. He can't, obviously share all the shilas, but those he can, he shares about what they do for Yom Kippur, how do you daven, they can't, if they're found with the sitter, they're dead. So it's very nogei, halacha maisa, of people who are these spies in these Arab countries. So according to the Rambam, there's a heter. It's pekuach nefesh, they could eat. According to the Ramban, not so clear. You can't have, there's no such heter. It's no such heter at all. You also have to question whether we're in the state of Mechama now. Some of we are in the state of Mechama. Why are we in Mechama now, guys? We're always in Mechama. Now, the past 80 years or so, 60 years, 70 years, whatever it is. What? Right. So it could be reconquering Eretz Yisrael, but also preemptive strike. They're always looking to wipe us out. So any fight seemingly should be a Mechames Mitzvah, according to the Rambam, that it's a preemptive strike. We're not trying to kill them. We're not trying to wipe them off. We're not trying to take them over. What? Right. So according to the Rambam, the Rashi was an implication. L'chor Rashi seems to argue, but the Rambam says, and I would assume we're going to take the Rambam. Usually we take the Rambam on these things. Halach l'maisa. Just if you Psak Halacha, Rashi rarely makes his way over to Psak Halacha. He's part of the sugya. But Halach L'maisa, as the Shulchan Aruch writes in the beginning of Beis Yosef, he chooses between the Rambam and the Rif and the Rush. Rashi is not on the category of poskim per se. Seemingly, again, I'm not paskining here. But seemingly we paskin the Rambam, that's a preemptive strike and it's a Mechames Mitzvah. The Mechames Mitzvah is taking place in Chutzlar. The guy's in Jordan, he's in Syria, he's in Iran, Iraq, wherever these spies are. So for the Ramban, it's only when you've defeated them is their head there of collecting the reward. But according to the Rambam, it's no. In Pekuach Nefesh, you're allowed to eat from it. Now, the Radbaz makes an interesting distinction. Radbaz writes in Chelek Vav Simon Beis Alafim Reisha. He wrote a lot of tshuvas. Simon 2205, Simon, that tshuva, and he has many more than that. So he writes, there's a difference between Mechemes Rishus and Mechemes Mitzvah. And he says, when it comes to Mechemes Mitzvah, he says, you're allowed to eat all the foods, even if you're not hungry. There's a mamish a heter gamur, he writes, to eat everything. And if it's mechemes rishus, he says only if you're in a state of pikuach nefesh. That's his understanding. So this would potentially be a third nafkamina between mechemes rishus and mechemes mitzvah. Just to recap what we had. Either who decides we're going to fight, that we saw the melech versus hedron. Number two is who's chozer mechama, rishus versus mitzvah. And this third possible nafkamina is there's a heter to eat anything according to Abbas during Mechames Mitzvah or only when you're starving during Mechames Rishus. So let's just finish off one last interesting din related to this particular halacha of the heter of eating Machal Sassurus during during Milchama. So the Ramban already argued in the Rambam. The Rambam writes that even Yayin Nesach is allowed. Ramban says, that's a Avodah Zarah. It's not a heter of Avodah Zarah, there's a heter of Machal Sasuros. That's not a Avodah Zarah. That's not Machal Sasuros, that's a Avodah Zarah. So how could the Rambam say you could have Yayin Nesach b'shas Milchama? So there are three different answers that I came across explaining the Rambam, and that's as follows. The Netziv writes in Hamak Dover in last week's Parsha, I believe it is, he says that we're not talking about Yayin Nesach that was mamish used for the Avodah Zarah. There's a din of shikshik, when you kind of shake, when a guy shakes the wine, that's a din of Yayin Nesach, but it's not mamish Avodah Zarah. So it's a lower level. Had it been mamish used for Avodah Zarah, the Rambam would agree it's awesome. That's one answer. Chassam Sofer says the Rambam is talking about Stam Yenam. Stam Yenam is just similar to the Netziv, where it wasn't used for Avodah Zarah, just where Goy touched an open bottle of wine. And the Rosh Sameach says, no, we're Mamish Avodah Zarah. Mamish Avodah Zarah is wine used for Avodah Zarah, but there's still a heter. Ah, there's no heter, it's a heter Machal Zasiros. He says, not true, says the Rosh Sameach. He says, Eishi Shefas Toar is a heter during Shas Mechama. And that's Arayos. So there's a special heter from Arayos during Mechama. And so there's a special heter of Avodah Zarah during Shas Mechama. That didn't bother the Rosh Sameach. But let's finish off with one interesting shaila of the Tur Evin. The Tur Evin asks, based on Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Yud Gimel. The Gemara there says that when Yeshua and Bnei Yisrael walked into Eretz Yisrael, so the Gemara says there's an Isser of Chadash we know. Isser Chadash is all the new grains are also to be eaten until you bring the carbon omer. When you bring the carbon omer, the Chadash becomes Yashan, and the Yashan is now permitted. Now, when they came into Eretz Yisrael for the very first time, they did not have the carbon omer. So, what happened was, they had to wait till Malachas of Pesach, and they ate. Only the day afterwards were they able to eat, but not beforehand. And the Gemara says they brought the carbon omer at that point, and then the carbon omer is matir. The Chadash into Yashan. Fine. So ask the Tur Evin, I don't understand, when they walked into Eretz Yisrael, the Shas Mechama, they just took down Yericho, and they were fighting country to country, nation to nation, area to area, territory to territory, Shas Mechama for 7 years straight. Why do you need to have a heter of Karbon Omer? It's a Chadash. Machal Sasuros are allowed during Shas Mechama. This is Mechamas Mitzvah. This was the example the Gemara Sota said as Mechamas Mitzvah, Yeshua ben Nun fighting the Shiva Am. So why do you have to wait for Karbon Omer? Even the day of Pesach should have been permitted. The Isser Chadash. Good question, no? Any answers before I give you history answers? What?
It's still ideal.
Still ideal. Okay. It's a bidyevit situation. Okay.
There's a tikkun, there's a way to fix it and do that.
Davar Sheish Matirin it's called, right? Davar Sheish Matirin means that which is usher today, but tomorrow will be mutter, so wait till it's mutter, wait till it's better. That's the understanding. That's one answer. He writes Davar Sheish Matirin. That's one expression. Excellent. Another answer he gives is that the heter, according to the Rambam, of eating machal sasuros was only true when they were starving. They were not starving. They had plenty of food with them. They had the man with them still for a few more days. So they weren't starving. The heter is only pikuach nefesh. There's no pikuach nefesh here. And the third answer, really, the first answer that he brings, is that based on the Ramban says that the whole heter of eating machal sasuros was part of the spoils of war, which meant whatever you conquered from the Akum, you could take over. But the Chadash that existed in Eretz Yisrael was not owned by the Goyim. This is our land. This is our Eretz Yisrael. We own it. We weren't there yet, but this was ours from the times of Avraham Avinu. So the Heter is only Machal Asuros from the Akum, not Machal Asuros from our food, our property. And for that reason, we were not allowed to rely on the Heter of Achila B'Shas Milchama. So this is the last section. So just quickly recap what we just did in this last piece here about the heter of eating B'Shas Milchama. That's the Machal Sasuros. Rambam says that's true because of Pikuach Nefesh. Ramban says no, it's a schar of the Milchama. Number two machlokas we had, Rambam says it applies anywhere the war takes place. Pikuach Nefesh is relevant everywhere in the world. Ramban says it's unique only to Eretz Yisrael proper. And the third machlokas was about Yayin Nesach. Rambam says the heter applies to even Yayin Nesach. Ramban says, no, Yainesach Savodah Zarah, it's not Machal Sosiros, and we discussed the various explanations. And then the Radbaz, who says there might be a distinction between Mechames Rishus and Mechames Mitzvah. Okay, everybody, see you later.